Ladies and gentlemen, 400 billion locusts are swarming across East Africa and into the Middle East right now. They are ravaging farmland and pastures and destroying anything edible in their path, and with it, the food security of hundreds of millions of people. They've eaten up to 50% of Pakistan's crops this season, prompting them to declare a national emergency. And they're not alone. Somalia also has declared a national emergency because of these bugs. The scope of this destruction is such that words simply fail to really convey the scale of this. It's impossible. But we've got to talk about it, so we're going to try. And I also want to mention that there's a new rash of talking points going out from the Mockingbird media. There's no news study, there's no news, there's no merit to this wave of propaganda, but notwithstanding, myriad publications across the geographies have all at the same time, these last few days, been starting to talk about the Grand Solar Minimum and the Mini Ice Age, into which we are apparently entering in 2020. So why now? And what effects is the virus in China going to have on their food supply? We need to talk about all this. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel. And if the river's running red with blood in South Korea as they culled tens of thousands of pigs in an attempt to stop the spread of African swine fever, if that wasn't biblical enough for you, then certainly the apocalypse of locusts, these plagues of locusts and pestilence, and the famine approaching quickly on the horizon has got to take the cake. We're looking at something that is, in their words, unprecedented in modern times. Take a look. With Pakistan and Somalia both declaring national emergencies over locust attacks on crops, while a host of East African nations from Iran, Yemen, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Oman, and the western states of India are going through one of the worst locust episodes in history. Speculations are rife whether locust is becoming the biggest threat to global food security. And then the devastation of 50% of the country's crops by this insect saw Pakistan declaring a national emergency. Now, I could not believe that figure at first, but I've gone back and I've checked and I've watched it evolve. If you watched the press coming out of Pakistan over the last months, it went up 30, 40, and sure enough, 50% of their crops this year are gone. I mean, this is, again, words fail me. The insect in question is this guy, the desert locust, who looks unassuming enough, but eats up to his own weight every day. And again, that doesn't look like much, but when there are 400 billion of you, that adds up fast. In fact, one of the mega swarms, which covers an area of 40 by 40 kilometers square, can eat up to the same amount of food as the entire population of Kenya in a day. So they are just completely getting rid of everything edible in the path. It's an amazing thing to see. We'll see a clip of here in a second. In Kenya, police were facing the country's largest outbreak in 70 years, firing machine guns and tear gas into swarms in an effort desperately to prevent them from consuming their food supply. Ethiopia is dropping pesticides from small planes. I'll come back to that. And passenger jets have been forced to make emergency landings due to these massive swarms. So it's so thick they can't even fly through it. It's just ridiculous. Here's a quick picture of where these swarms have been located so far. And I'm going to dip into a little bit briefly about all these, but I want to start in Pakistan, where they've just, like I said, hit 50% crop loss and declared a national emergency. As I mentioned in my previous videos as well, Pakistan is experiencing now, as a result, a shortage of wheat and flour, shortages of sugar, and then poultry is actually running short as well. So you can just watch this cascading series of failures, the dominoes falling one after another across the world right now. The insects are destroying crops in several provinces across Pakistan. The devastation has affected local producers and consumers. Unfortunately, one of their agriculture ministers jokingly suggested that they should just eat bugs. Yeah, you can see he's in on it. He immediately suggests we should go eat insects. According to the officials, it's being blamed on climate change. Of course, what else would they blame? But check this out. One of the officials noted that local media is not publishing news about the affected areas and people because we didn't want to be unduly alarming. So that we already see this information is being censored in the parts of the world that actually need it most. But you're getting it here. And what it is massive crop losses in Pakistan, as we just saw, over the border in India. From Bloomberg, swarms of locusts are wreaking havoc on key Indian crops. More than 25,000 hectares of wheat, rapeseed, cumin, potatoes were attacked. At least a third of those crops were damaged. The swarms are likely to have crossed over from Pakistan, whose economy is at risk after half their crops have been eaten by these bugs. The swarms have also been spotted in Iran. Take a look at this footage, where it's reminiscent of the Mormon crickets that were causing roads to turn slick after massive rains in Oregon. But the numbers are just unbelievable. And as well, over in Saudi Arabia, here's some footage from swarms there, even thicker. You just wouldn't want to be walking through here. And if you turn on the audio, it's ridiculously loud. But you can see they're calling this a swarm of biblical proportions ravaging the food bowl. This is an area of Africa that produces a tremendous amount of food. That's why China has been doing a lot of investment down there in the East African food bowl. All right, so we've seen now, and then down into Kenya and Ethiopia, where these swarms started. Locust invasion is the biggest in Ethiopia and Somalia in 25 years, and it's the biggest in Kenya in 70 years. Again, we see being blamed is the changing climate, contributing to exceptional breeding conditions. South Sudan and Uganda also at risk. Even the cows are wondering what's happening, and that's because, yes, the it's not just crops, it's the pasture land itself that is being destroyed by these locusts. So literally, the cow's food is being eaten from underneath them, and that's going to affect people who expect that they're going to eat that meat, and that the people that raise that livestock. This is an area, as they say, that is already suffering from extreme hunger, and that's why they are calling in, look at these pictures, that's why they're calling in the UN's FAO, Food and Agricultural Organization, to try and help out. We can see here it's 70,000 hectares in Kenya that have been damaged. The FAO is coming in, they're raising funds, and then they're buying pesticides that are being dispersed from planes, because that is the only mechanism that they recommend to control locust outbreaks. Egypt is also trying to take precautions to keep these swarms from entering there. But I want to ask about this unprecedented locust invasion and how eager the UN comes. I'm not saying that that's not happening, and I'm certainly not discounting what we're looking at here. It's obviously a huge problem. And when I see the United Nations rushing in, saying, we're from the government, we're here to help, I don't believe them, I don't trust them. And when they suggest that the only solution to this problem is to spray massive amounts of pesticides from low-flying planes on the areas of the world that produce our food, I have to ask, what's going on here? Is this good? Is this good for the food? Is it safe? Is it going to affect bees that do the pollination? Is it going to affect people? I mean, these are relatively sane questions to ask. And the answers that they provide, of course, are all no, things should be fine. There's even a pesticide referee group that is maintained by the Food and Agriculture Organization explicitly to make recommendations for what kind of pesticides and from whom to buy them in a crisis like this. So someone's making money. Again, not saying that this isn't happening. The unprecedented locust invasion is approaching a full-blown crisis. This is from Scientific American, and again, calling it biblical proportions, but then saying, yes, the major concern is famine. The UN warning that mass swarms of desert locusts are endangering food supplies. And that's why Rome was mobilizing emergency funds to buy pesticides and spray them all over everything. We're seeing a lot of spraying right now. And then again, climate change is linked to these African locust invasions. Quote, climate change may be powering the swarms of desert locusts that are deepening a hunger crisis, according to experts. According to experts, always that appeal to authority. at the end of the statement. Is it fair, though, to blame climate change? In reality, what happened is different precipitative patterns came in to Saudi Arabia. It was a relatively sparsely populated area from people. And they got two cyclones back after on each other's back that brought intense rainfall. Now, this created the perfect breeding conditions for massive swarms that, as I said, no one lives down there, so no one really noticed. But after months and months of multiplying, now they're just swarming everywhere. And I should also mention that the season's not over. They're still laying eggs. And so this is going to multiply even further out of control. I also want to mention it's not unprecedented. One can look back in history and you can actually take a pretty good guess. You can find stories like this coming out of previous instances of where we are now, which is record low activity from the sun. The sun has dropped off its solar activity, and that changes all sorts of things, including the precipitative patterns that have led to the situation like the locusts. And again, that are threatening all of our food security here on this planet. You can read stories about the locust invasions in 1666 in Iran and some in Moldova, all during the Maunder Minimum. Just they were called then, as they are being called now, unprecedented and biblical plagues. But this is just what happens. That's why it happens every time. You can read these stories out of this book, Global Crisis, by Jeffrey Parker, which is a pretty riveting read, and it focuses on all of the effects that were playing out during that Maunder Minimum that we were just taking a look at back here, when the sun's output dropped off and stayed low for 100 years in that grand solar minimum. I'll drop a link to that book and to all of these things below. But it's not just, I mean, there are other signs that the sun's output is dropping off. In fact, this recent study from solar generation companies found that PV output, photovoltaic output from solar panels, was dropping during 2019. In fact, it was ridiculous, the drop-off, they said. Over 2017 to 2018 to 2019, it was getting darker, literally getting darker, less energy possible to get from the sun. How much darker? What about the magnitude of these deviations from this? Are these typical? The deep red dots represent, as it turns out, a deviation in excess of 10%, which is less than 1% probable. P less than 1%. So it's off the scales, the drop-off of solar activity in terms of solar generation, in terms of growing degree days. I've shared before my growing degree days tool at iceagefarmer.com/GDD, where you can see just how much cooler 2019 was than 2018. Temperatures dropping, generation dropping, solar output dropping, precipitative patterns changing, seismic and volcanic. We've talked about the symptoms, and you can find them on the Ice Age Farmer Wiki as well, over and over. So let's instead now transition to China, where the quarantine lockdown has been affecting livestock, where feed is unable to reach millions and millions of chickens and pigs. I've shared before this article, 300 million chickens are starving to death because the quarantine means that you can't get animal feed into them. And indeed, digging more deeply into this, well, first of all, as these farmers were watching their chickens starve, there's now a new outbreak of H5N1, the bird flu, that's prompting China to kill off even more of their chickens. So we've got African swine fever, and they're killing off their pigs, up to 70% of them now. Pork prices going through the roof. We've got now bird flu, and so they're starting to cull their chicken. Folks, this is turning into just a complete disaster in China right now. Even not even talking about the virus. We're looking at massive food scarcity, just like in Africa we were just talking about. China's drone army fighting the coronavirus, they commandeered farm and police and personal drones. Why? Well, again, to start spraying everyone. This is why I'm taking a look at this new pattern. They claim that they're spraying disinfectants to kill off the virus, and of course they claim that it will have no effect on people. But what are they spraying? Where do they get it? Who's making money from it? These are questions I'd like to see answered, and I don't have the answers tonight. But here's another piece. China, in targeting the coronavirus, is actually making farmers pay a huge price, and it could push the country's already struggling small businesses and agricultural industry over the edge. This falls in line absolutely with the pattern of the war on farms, the food wars that are playing out across the entire world right now. Here's some more from Chinese social media stories from small producers. We have a lot of sugar oranges. We can't get to the market to sell them. If no one comes, they will only rot on the ground. I hope this coronavirus ends soon. Down here, Nimona is having a huge impact on strawberry growers. This is usually when we take strawberries to the market. We can't get them there. I'm only watching them rot in the field. So these small farmers are going to go out of business if they can't get their products to market. And that opens the door for big agricultural companies to come in and take their place, the further consolidation and privatization of the food system. This is, we just had the PM of Australia, Scott Morrison, saying that maybe the drought was actually a necessary evil to thin the herd, take out the bottom 10% of farmers, suggesting that it's a good thing to remove 10% of your farms is insane. And of course, this harks back to the quote out of the UK where professors were suggesting that we should get rid of 50% of the UK farmland. You can see, folks, this is a concerted effort across agriculture the world over. I hope you're able to see that out. And RT also reports that parts of East Russia are experiencing double the food prices almost overnight, and even shortage of vegetables already running scarce. And that Chinese border is not even closed yet. So there will be shockwaves to the global food system. There already are shockwaves to the global food system from this coronavirus lockdown. In fact, John Deere Tractor has shuttered there, as well as a host of other U.S. manufacturers, but among them, John Deere has shut down their factory in China. And that's where all the parts for John Deere tractors and combines and all these things that we use to grow food in the United States require parts from China at this point. So let's hope those factories, let's hope this all passes very soon. Now, I mentioned there's a new CIA, Mockingbird, media, propaganda, talking points memo that's gone out, because we can see all these different pieces from disparate media outlets focusing on different audiences. They've targeted tons of different people trying to inject this grand solar minimum narrative. In fact, there was even a piece the next day from the New Statesman saying, whoa, looks like UK newspapers are promoting the favorite myth of climate change deniers, that whole mini ice age fantasy that grants skeptics another 30 years to ignore the big problem. Obviously, that is not what the grand solar minimum is. I think it is disgusting that they put this out here. The idea, quote, that a grand solar minimum could lead to a future of guilt-free flying, year-round cocoa, and snowboarding to work is a favorite thesis of the climate change denial community. And it's not the first time Zarkova's work has been deployed. Like I said, Zarkova hasn't published anything new. There's no reason that these propaganda pieces should be pushed out now, other than to cover the obvious symptoms all around us, which I'll mention briefly in a second. But this is insulting to imply that the grand solar minimum is going to be a nice, peaceful, easygoing kind of time that grants us respite from the horrors of global warming. That's laughable and insulting. And it's dangerous. It's a lie and a dangerous one, because the reality, as we've seen from the history section and all the previous videos we've done looking back at previous cycles of low solar activity, it's extremely dangerous. It changes the weather patterns on this planet. The growing zones shift and crops fail and people starve. This is nothing to laugh at, folks. And it's certainly nothing for the New Statesman to make light of as they try and cover up the reality, which is that we're in such a time now. Looking at Kazakhstan and they're having to declare a state of emergency after extreme, record-setting, week-long storm of ridiculous snow cover, locking people into their homes, turning off the power, all these things, these extreme winter storms. Another one happening in Kashmir in India, the heaviest snowfall in a century. It was so severe that, in fact, there were 75 fatalities from this snowstorm. Canada is getting braced for one right now, that according to the Weather Channel itself, you won't be questioning the wrath of winter with this next powerful setup across eastern Canada. Well, so much for children of the future won't know what snow is. No, these storms are getting more severe. The crop failures across the globe are mounting. And folks, it's time for you and me to start growing our own food and telling the truth to everyone about what is actually going on, about the cycles of the sun, about the attacks on our food system, the attempt to create a controlled demolition of it and consolidate control of food and transitively control of us into the hands of a very few. Time to start growing it. And with that in mind, I wanted to bring up this book again, which does a tremendous job. It's called The Resilient Gardener by Carol Depp. And it focuses actually on just five crops to describe a way that you can grow a majority of your calories yourself. Those crops being potatoes, corn, beans, squash, and then eggs from chickens. I highly recommend this book because it just does a great job of breaking down the caloric and nutritive requirements of a family and then trying to find an elegant and simple solution to taking those requirements, those needs, those dependencies into your own hand. Don't depend on these systems which are fragile and which are crumbling as the climate changes and under the incessant attack of the powers that be. They're trying to get control over you and your food supply. So the only rational response is to start growing your own food. Join me in spreading the word and in doing that, and in starting to grow your own varieties. Look, this gentleman was mentioning that he's focusing on raising hybrids, on varieties that are more tolerant of cold weather and of a shorter growing season, that are early varieties, in other words. So if you want to go look through a seed catalog for things that grow well in your growing zones, or maybe even in a colder growing zone, and that have the shorter growing seasons, those are the ones that are going to be surest to give you a crop in the near future. But make sure to get a couple years worth of seeds at this point, folks, because we're seeing storms and other natural disasters, and then the secondary and tertiary effects of the changes of the output of the sun that just decimate, as they have time and time in history. Please check out those history pages to understand what we're going into now. That's really the best way to put it. Folks, thanks for joining me tonight and for watching. Please do spread the word about this. Help support this broadcast, patreon.com/iceagefarmer, and find my work directly on iceagefarmer.com, because the censorship continues to ramp up. That's another thing that this coronavirus is affording. The official narrative is the excuse to clamp down on disinformation. And when we see things, I have to ask questions, when we see things like a study being released but then walked back that says it was a bioweapon, well, suddenly there's two camps and no one can agree on what's actually going on here. And that happened again today when they accidentally released highly inflated death figures in China, or depending on who you ask, they accidentally released the real figures and then walked those back. So again, now there's people that think there are 250,000 deaths versus just the 25. I mean, they are sowing division within the truth community through these deliberate leaks of disinformation. And I think that's a dangerous thing that we need to be on the lookout for. So never trust any data source implicitly, and be patient with other people that are trying to figure out what's going on. Just trade information. Don't judge them and say you're stupid if you believe this is a bioweapon, or if you don't believe this is a bioweapon. Just be very patient and start preparing. Thanks for watching, folks. Be well.